Corruption Watch releases its annual report today. We speak to Executive Director Karim Singh. Welcome, Mr. Singh.
Thank you so much for having me.
What is the theme for this year's report?
We entitled this year's report Changing the Landscape, noting that we are in an election year. We've also, one of the areas that we've been focusing on in this past period has been looking at issues about the relationship between corruption and the realization of human rights. And in particular, we've had a particular project looking at the issue of land corruption in Africa. So that was also informed the theme for this year.
What were the most commonly reported types of corruption last year?
We received well over 2,000 complaints of corruption. The range in a variety of sectors. For, the largest number of complaints were received in the policing sector, followed by private sector issues, basic education, and state-owned enterprises. In terms of types of corruption, the types of allegations related to issues around fraud, employment irregularities, bribery and extortion, and procurement irregularities.
Can you give us an example of the worst case of corruption reported to Corruption Watch?
It's very difficult to say. It's very, very, very subjective, and I wouldn't be able to give you a particular case. But we've seen in the public domain over this period, significant corruption scandals. We saw a series of scandals related to the Tembisa Hospital, relating to issues of the provision of healthcare services in Gauteng. We know increasingly now that we have a challenge around the issue of organized crime and syndicated criminal activity, which basically characterizes the type of corruption that takes place today. So it's difficult to rank them in many ways. All of the allegations that we receive relate to insidious criminal activities, many of which implicate public servants.
And how does that compare with the private sector? Because you mentioned the private sector second.
Yes, private sector, it becomes quite disparate, the type of complaints that one receives. Some of the complaints are in relationship to issues around employment irregularities, abuse of power, not necessarily the kind of intricate type of schemes that we've seen in the case of Steinhoff and Marcus Yuster, which obviously has dominated the headlines in this most recent period.
Now, with the lack of protection for whistleblowers, are less people coming forward, or are people coming forward regardless of the horrors that may await them?
That's a very good question. And I think in some cases, our numbers have been down from the highest point of complaints that we've received. And that could be for a variety of reasons. And one of the reasons could very well be what you flagged, that there is a chilling environment for whistleblowers. Whistleblowers are disincentivized from coming forward. They often are victimized. They're often subjected to threats in their families. And we know that in extreme cases, we've seen, assassinations and murders of whistleblowers. So that's a real challenge. And it, becomes one of the real points of contention for us going forward in terms of the types of requests that we're making from government to improve the environment, to ensure that we're in a better footing when it comes to the fight against corruption. And critical to that will be an enhanced, a more robust system for the protection of whistleblowers.
What were the main focus areas for the work of Corruption Watch last year?
There are a variety of focus areas. As I mentioned, we had a project in the area of land and corruption. We had a big focus in the period on issues of procurement and procurement reform. We've developed a digital tool called Procurement Watch, which analyzes some of the data which is being released from the National Treasury with regard to procurement deviations and expansions. We know from the Zondo Commission and anybody who's worked in projects that oftentimes this is where we see a significant corruption with projects that are budgeted for a specific amount, say a 10 million, and then there's an overrun and they end up going into the hundreds of millions. Some cases, the services don't even get delivered. So we know that procurement fraud is a big issue. There's been a bill that's been snaking its way through the parliamentary process, which is almost at its final hurdle. We still feel that the bill is insufficient in terms of providing the type of protections and robustness to the system to protect it from the kind of corruption vulnerabilities. And primarily what we're advocating for there is a system that's much more transparent, where common people in communities, let alone the regulators and the Auditor General and others, can follow the paper trail when it comes to big procurement and identify early on if there's irregularities in the process before before the money gets looted and stolen and then laundered. And then it becomes very difficult to recover money after the fact.
What is the message from Corruption Watch as the country heads to the election next month?
I think the critical message is for the electorate to be well informed going to the polls in terms of understanding what the different political parties are saying, what their track record has been, and what we could expect from different parties in terms of their posture against corruption. I think going into the new administration, we have a national anti-corruption strategy, which has a lot of good points to it. We have a series of findings and recommendations from the Zondo Commission, many of which, if they were implemented, would put us in a better trajectory. We also have the findings and recommendations of the Financial Action Task Force that were responsible for greylisting South Africa. So there's lots of blueprints available to us in terms of implementing new approaches to the fight against corruption, which can put us in a much better place going forward. I think we had high expectations from the outgoing administration because they kind of came in on a bit of an anti-corruption ticket. They said we would turn the corner against state capture. We would ensure that state capture could never happen again. And if you just heard some of the sobering remarks from the Chief Justice, the former chair of the commission, it's not clear that if a new state capture project were to emerge, that we have sufficiently learned and put safeguards into the system to protect us going forward. So I think that's really a big concern. And that also leads to the one of the main points around the need to establish a dedicated, fully capacitated, fully funded, independent anti-corruption agency to help drive government's initiatives and to ensure that we have the best approach, particularly from a law enforcement standpoint, similar to what we had previously with the Scorpions when it comes to the fight against corruption going forward.
Thank you. That was Mr. Karam Singh, the Executive Director of Corruption Watch, speaking to BizNews on the day of the release of its annual report. Thank you, Mr. Singh.